welcome everyone to a special episode of the Tech on Toast podcast, and we're joined by some old friends here. So we have Richard Hartley from S4 Labour. Richard, how are you?
Good morning, Chris. I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Nice to be here. Festive times.
Yep. Feeling very festive. And David, all the way up north in Scotland. David Beveridge from People Bank. How are you, David?
Yeah, really good. Thank you, Chris. Thank you again for having us.
Well, that's fine. I'm more than happy to have you guys on. This is Richard's second go. He's obviously a big fan. But let's have a learn a little bit more about what you do at your companies. We'll start with you down there, S4 Labour. What do you get up to at S4 Labour, Richard?
Chris, it's great to be back, and thanks again for hosting us. We are a labour productivity scheduling and payroll business. So we've been kind of doing this in the hospitality space for about 12 years, and we've got some wonderful customers across the hospitality spectrum, and thrilled to be here today just to talk a little bit about the work that we do with the guys at People Bank.
Lovely. And seamlessly into David. David, what do you do over at People Bank? And tell us a little bit more about People Bank for those who don't know.
The integration's already started, right? So listen, we're an applicant tracking system in its truest sense. We've been around for around 23 years. So we know a thing or two about the space and industry. We give our clients effectively the ability to create and publish adverts to multiple mediums, track and manage candidates, and integrate to various different products, such as the team over at S4.
And I think what's really interesting, actually, you two here is the legacy, the fact that you're not highly invested new business that just turned up last year, and you've got pink T-shirts and lots of stuff. But you know, that legacy piece that you two guys have, I think, is really exciting because it actually gives trust, I suppose, to the customers. Is that what you'd say, Richard, in terms of, I suppose, the importance of having that kind of a rock foot in the industry? Is that important, do you think, to the operators buying into you?
I think so. We've spoken about this a little bit before, but we've got a really strong foundation in hospitality. But most of the people who worked in the organisation were previously operators, and we still run a couple of pubs within the wider organisation. So we like to think that we keep our finger on the pulse in terms of hospitality. But also, we've built up a big product, and it's kind of, it's multifaceted in what we can do for our customers at various different levels, depending on how deep that they want to go. So having that kind of wealth of experience means that we can sort of pick the right level of product for each of our customers and each of their various sites, and pairing what they need, matching to what they need to help them get better.
Yeah, and I don't think the problems have fully gone away from COVID. We're still mopping. I hate bringing it up, but we're still mopping out of it. And people, for me, is an evergreen problem. It's never really changed in the industry. It's always a challenge. Let's not call it a problem. It's a challenge. And David, I think that People Bank is addressing some of those problems, right? And I think that, again, the fact that you've been around for so long, you actually see a lot of what's going on in the marketplace and are solving it, right?
Yeah, do you know what, Chris? You're absolutely right. And I think when it comes to our product, as we've been around and in the market for so long, we've really sort of grew the product, not just from sort of our knowledge and understanding of tech, but really by listening to the consumer and listening to our clients and the operators and how do they drive change and what is their business model working with. But when it comes to things like our integration with the team at S4, it's tried and tested. Listen, I think we've been probably working together, which people might not know this, for 4 or 5 years, maybe even longer, right? And that's only just allowed us to enhance and develop the type of data that we pass across to them, the type of information that we pass across to them, and then that will allow the end operator to have the seamless flow. So no, I think we are plugging a few of the gaps, Chris. I still think there's more work to do. I think it is, as you said earlier, it's a bit evergreen. I think it's continual, but we're setting up for the challenge.
Yeah, and the reason we're here today is because, as you just alluded to there, you guys are now working together, and my little ticket tape here says you've built a seamless integration. So tell us a little bit about that. By all means, Richard, if you want to fire away, but why now? What are you guys doing together that's going to help the industry?
Well, listen, we've been long-term fans of People Bank, but I guess our premise is that we want to be real experts in what we do. We don't want to be too broad. And try to pretend that we could cover too many different areas. It's important for us to focus on what we do really well and then find the best in class partners. And that's absolutely what we've found with People Bank. So there's a real need for our customers to have a seamless journey. When they're recruited through platforms like David, information across the platform, without any need for additional human intervention is where the is where we make it really easy for our customers, and that's what they want. As you know, you've alluded to, so times are still tough out there, so we don't need to be giving them extra administrative burdens or extra jobs in onboarding people. They want that task to be nice and slick, to work really effectively, and that's what we've created with the guys at PeopleBank. Is that about right, David?
Yeah, do you know what, Richard, just listening to you, you're absolutely right. Chris, I think what the key thing is, whilst we've always worked with each other, we were continually going, well, how do we enhance, how do we improve? And I think that's now where you've got your ticket tape saying seamless. That's now where we're at as two businesses working together. So in essence, the concept of it is, you know, in the ATS, you move candidates through various different journeys, through different swim lanes, from sort of interview to offered through to hired. We then transition that data across to the team at S4. But as we pass that data across, we're also capturing all the relevant other documents that you might need, like right to work, offer letters, contracts. So that then sits within the S4 repository against that candidate that's now an employee. Now, the benefit of doing that is sort of two or threefold, in my opinion, because, you know, you're saving the operator on cost with time. You're getting a better integrity of data, but furthermore, you're also, you know, the whole privacy by design and the whole compliance piece. What you don't want is, you don't want operators pulling data out of one system and then having to manually upload it into another. There could be some security issues there. So what we're trying to go to the market with is, let's transition it and let's work with two best-in-class systems. Richard and his team know everything to do with the workforce management space, and we're really hot on the recruitment side. So we think coming together is going to essentially help the operator tenfold, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the key, isn't it? And I think there's a lot of talk about tech, obviously, and I'm in the middle of it as we go into next year. And I think what I'm really focusing on next year is problem solving. Actually, yeah, rather than talking about, you know, features are great and all this kind of stuff, but really talking about what problem, leading with the problem, what problem we solve for the operator, and then what is the solution? And this is a really good example of that, right? Where you're actually talking about physical things that they're, you know, tasks they're taking on a daily basis that'll actually become easier by working through a seamless integration. Now let's use that word again. But Richard, is that your common thread? I think when we spoke on the podcast previously, you talked a lot about the experience of you guys from Mitchell and Butler's and having your own pubs and generally having, you know, a foot close to the industry, that understanding their problems helps you build product.
Completely. Yeah, it's always where we've, you know, having our own pubs really helps us in this, because you kind of go, well, what are the day-to-day challenges and how are they changing over time? And we've definitely seen them. You know, I've been at S4 for over 8 years now, and definitely kind of the priorities of the operators, well, us as operators and the people that we talk to, have definitely shifted. And kind of, you know, I'll be perfectly honest, ATS wasn't really on many people's radars when I started 8 years ago, but boy, is it now. And it's integral. You know, we don't speak to anybody that isn't thinking about how that onboarding journey is exceptional. So, you know, and therefore our job is to go, we don't want to be an ATS. It's not our area of expertise, as David rightly said. So how do we partner with the best? And then how do we make that as easy as possible? You know, removing all of those headaches, removing all of that additional work. And as David rightly said, making sure that you sort of take out any element of risk. Really important.
David, best in class versus all in one is something I have many conversations about. Everybody has a different answer, but there are real benefits, aren't there, to working with a best in class system? I mean, you kind of touched on a little bit there, but can you elaborate more on the, like, working on
So there's all these sort of old sayings, isn't there? You know, jack of all trades, master of none, and all these sort of things that people may coin as part of a sales pitch. But, you know, our genuine belief here at PeopleBank is, you know, we've been around for 23 years. We're part of a larger group that's in the staffing space, but we know recruitment incredibly well, and we've moved a lot of our skills from that staffing space into the in-house by working very closely with partners but operators for, you know, the best part of 20 years. We firmly believe that we know what we're doing when it comes to this, and we can sort of roughly forecast where things are going, from conversational applicant tracking systems, further to matching candidates to vacancies, vacancies to candidates, all these various other things that we're working on. That's a full-time job in itself, to really master that and home in on those trades, let alone trying to take on what the team at S4 do when it comes to time and attendance, workforce management. And, you know, we know we don't have, I suppose, the skill set or the expertise. So in our opinion, we think, well, let's work with best in class, let's integrate. So for us, listen, why do we do that? Well, we feel that there's other people that are better suited for the operator. And in essence, the operator is going to get the best results. So that's why we try to go to market. We spoke to a lot of different businesses, but what we found with S4 is that there's a real need. They've got the same, I suppose, goal as us, as how can we serve that client best in the end run, right?
Yeah, I love that. And same for you, Richard, because we definitely discussed this on the podcast, because it's a common question I ask. But I love the fact that you said we're just sticking to what we do best, which I think is, you know, which a lot of people want to kind of build everything, right? And I kind of get it. But at the same time, if I'm in surgery and I've got a sore leg, I kind of don't want the brain surgeon working on my leg. I want the leg guy, if that makes sense.
Even more importantly, you don't want the leg guy working on your brain.
Yeah, maybe I should put that one. Yeah. Some would say that may have already happened, Richard.
It's really important. I kind of, you know, you can go for a bit of a land grab, if you like, and try and steal, and other providers do, and right, and credit to them, that give it a good go and see what they can achieve. But we think there's so much roadmap to go within workforce management, you know, and we're talking to customers continually about what more we could do for them in just our narrow space without wanting to branch out of it. And we're excited about that. You know, I think there's a lot of work coming up for us in the next 12 months looking at employee engagement. So kind of, you know, beyond the traditional, what people traditionally come for us, which is cost, you know, market leading cost management and the like, is going, actually, once we've got that workforce in place, how do we really motivate and engage them to drive productivity through the business? So there's loads of exciting stuff that we've got to do. And we therefore see no need in venturing out of kind of where we sit, because there's a lot to go at.
And I think as an operator, as a former operator, that gives me confidence, I suppose, because sometimes as a procurer of tech in my old role, I would often worry about, you know, can these guys service me past the first 3 months, you know, the hand-holding stage? Will I be able to be looked after? And I think knowing that you're focusing on what you're great at is important, right? It's like having a chef who's just great at chefing. You can stay there. Yeah. That's fine. You don't need to be a waiter. So it's all good.
Yeah, exactly that.
And so I suppose, and we're in, and not you can tell, actually, none of us are looking that festive here in our background. We've got no decorations knocking about. There's some presents behind me, but we're on the edge of the end of the year, and it's been, we were just talking off air with me and David talking about, it's been a really busy year, actually, for many different reasons for all three of us. What are you looking forward to most, I suppose, about next year? I mean, obviously, this partnership is great, but Richard, what are you looking forward to most about 2024?
Well, I think there's a real buoyancy in the consumer optimism. Kind of talking to a load of operators, especially in the last couple of weeks, Christmas is clearly trading very well.
Yes.
And that's great to see. Well ahead of last year, well ahead of expectations. So we're hoping that consumer confidence holds. And there's some headwinds coming, certainly with, you know, I think there's a lot of mortgage renewals coming next year, which will put people under a bit of pressure, a little bit of uncertainty with an expected election. But if we can maintain a bit of consumer confidence, maintain the customer experience for people, I think that'll give a load of operators a load of optimism to start to invest in their businesses and move forward.
That's a really good point.
We're still kind of got the hangovers of, you know, when people look back at what they were doing this time last year, and I know we've had train strikes this year, but it doesn't feel like they've affected us in any way, shape or form like they have done previously. And crikey, we've mentioned it once already, twice is a bit of a bad news, but you know, the hangover that COVID thing, well and truly putting that in the past and actually just focusing really on less on the external factors, but just running a really good business. I think everybody would be very buoyed by the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ban COVID from the podcast next year. Anybody who says it, I'll just... I've got the power of edit. I'll just edit them out. But we'll let that one go.
Don't use the C word.
What about you, David? What are you looking forward to most about next year?
Yeah, I mean, listen, just to completely echo what Richard's saying, we're starting to notice the operators sort of hopefully seeing a little bit of lift. Certainly the operators we've spoken to over the last two or three weeks, just echo what Richard's saying, it looks like things have been performing pretty well for them throughout December. So, you know, fingers crossed that maintains, right? Really from our perspective, we're super excited as a business. We've got some exciting developments. I think Richard touched on it when he was talking about S4 and, you know, what they've got to do within the workforce management space around their roadmap. We're also seeing some exciting changes coming. All I think I touched on it earlier, all around the sort of more conversational side. You know, what can we do to allow operators to spend more time doing what, you know, often what they're employed to do, not necessarily sit behind an applicant tracking system and have to move candidates from one status to another. You know, how far can we automate that process? How much further can we allow the operator to get to that candidate, and how can we get to the best candidates the quickest way? So that's really what we're working on. We've got some super exciting stuff about to roll out in Q1 of next year. So I think just excitement around that, and really hopefully companies are embracing tech and, you know, AI and, you know, what we can do and how far can we move this all on.
And we did a survey around, I think it was 280 odd operators in autumn this year, and I think 88% said they were going to invest in tech next year. Yeah. That's not a surprise, right? Most things we do involve some bit of tech, but I think the more interesting part for you guys from that was actually that people, as in tech pointing to people, was their top choice. That's where the investment was going to go in terms of improving how they manage their people, keep their people, and that journey throughout, you know, from onboarding all the way through to, you know, to their time when they leave, making sure they have a better experience with them through tech. And I think that's really exciting for the people side of things next year. Hopefully you guys are seeing that too, or my stats are ringing. But anyway, but look, really interesting, guys. I think it's a brilliant partnership, not just because of the tech, but I think there are two great sets of people working together, which and business for me is always about good people working together, and I think it's really exciting when those people join forces, because it can only move to better things. If people are watching this eating their Christmas pudding and they're thinking this is how do they get in touch with you at S4 Labour, Richard?
Yeah, the easiest thing, email me, richard@s4labour.co.uk. That's a simple thing. Or jump on the website, s4labour.co.uk. Have a good look around. We'd love to hear from you. And let's see if we can help.
Perfect. And same for you, David. Can they bother you?
Yeah, listen, very same to Richard. d.beveridge@peoplebank.com or our website, just www.peoplebank.com. Yeah, feel free to hit us up, just if it's a conversation. There's so many buzzwords about AI and automation, and you know, we'll try to strip it down. If we can just explain what that actually means to the operator, I think is a key thing. So yeah, feel free to reach out to either of us and we can talk about the integration.
Perfect. Look, guys, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on. It's like 7:30 in the morning, something. I don't even know what time it is. It's appreciate it. And have a great Christmas, and we shall see you all in 2024.
Chris, thanks for hosting. Thanks. Lovely to see you, David. Cheers. Happy Christmas all. Take care.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Cheers, guys. Take care. Bye.